Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dark Room. I suppose this is kind of a UFC 279 aftermath as well, and a bit of a Nate Diaz guillotine celebration. So I actually built this playlist last week, and Jamie and I were going to record it when we did the other Dark Room, and I thought to myself, you know what? No doubt he's going to win by guillotine this week if I record this now. So I'll wait and see if he gets another one to add to it. And he has. And it was exactly the same as all of his other guillotines. You know, there's only one guillotine on his whole record that stands out as being different. And that's his one against Marcus Davis. But that's only because he took him down. I'll show you what I mean. Because anyway... Nate Diaz, so what's that, 22-13 now is his record. That was his 12th submission. 4 triangles, 5 guillotines now. 1 rear naked choke, 1 armbar, 1 key lock. And then on The Ultimate Fighter, he got a triangle, a rear naked choke, and a guillotine as well. Quite an outstanding output of submissions. Okay, let me show you this. So, you may have seen this one. We've talked about this one before. This one was against Junior Asuncao. So he steps back, short uppercut, big uppercut, lead right hook, slips away, ping, cross. And then you can see he's doing that arm flailing as he's falling, gets caught with another right hook. And as he's landing, he's scrambling, and Nate goes straight away. Hang on a minute, a couple more punches. Straight away, wraps the neck. And this is the position that's always familiar. So what you can see right now, you can see his glove right there. He's underneath. So he's got a strap on his chin already. And then he's got this arm that's wrapped over the top. And it's the arm that he uses to manage them and control them. The chin strap keeps him close to them. You can see Cesar Gracie in the background, the guy that's probably responsible for this guillotine, along with the great Nick Diaz. Okay, so here's the grip. There you can see. You can see Asuncao's face is twisted towards the camera, and you can see how Nate's got that chin strap, that hook underneath his chin, and how tight that is. Ooh, you can also see there that Nate's got that hook. Now, Asuncao's a good grappler. So as Nate sits to try and wrap guard, you can see Asuncao keeps this knee in place, which kind of slows Nate down. You can see that's kind of problematic. But the good thing for Nate is that he's got this control and this chin strap. So he's already got 2 bites on his opponent anyway. There's not really anywhere that they can go without him being able to reset and readjust, like we see in other fights, which you'll see in a moment. Now Nate does have his leg over the back of Asuncao, but because Asuncao's got the knee in, he doesn't really have the same kind of control that he would like here. And in a bit of a scramble, you can see him kind of release Asuncao. Asuncao's going to roll through, and Nate's going to follow him. The thing that keeps Nate tight onto him, though, here, look. Where is it? We can't see it very well from here. That's the glove of Nate just there. So the arm of Nate is there, and that's the control. We've talked about this before, earlier this week. And that's what keeps Nate on him. It doesn't really matter what Asuncao's doing with his lower body as he's scrambling. And then until Nate gets that bite over, that's the point where he starts to release the arm that's in the armpit. You can see it here, right here. And it's going to creep out, and it's going to join the other hand. There it comes out. I mean, he's already tapping. You can see a Asuncao tapping there. Palm to palm. And that's it. Here against Melvin Gallard. Again, watch how similar this is. And when I say similar, I mean the process that his opponents go through before they arrive at this position where they're stuck in the guillotine. Because it's an overwhelming whack, 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 slap, slap, slap. I mean, I don't have updated strikes, but his strikes going into the fight last night were 2,386 total in his UFC career. Volume, whack, whack, constant. And they break and they shoot under pressure. You know, we saw it against Connor. That was a rear naked choke, but that was almost a guillotine as well. Here against Melvin Gallard. Getting walked down. Wicked lead. Bang. Smacks him with a jab. And a cross. Knocks him back. Now, Gallard plays a little bit here. He kind of walks back and like pretends like he's hurt. Like bounces off the fence and then lunges for Nate. But watch Nate's reaction. Here comes Gallard with this power right. And Gallard could crack. Those old school MMA fans in there will remember. So Gallard comes flying off the fence. Nate slips it. And Gallard level changes and Nate's there. Builds that frame straight away. That's the thing that slows his opponent down. He's got that frame right there. That's going to become the chin strap. At the same time, he's going to wrap over the other side, but he's going to keep his hips away until there is a position where he can go from here to here, where he's cupping his chin. Because what he doesn't want to do is get taken down and they storm through his upper body control. And Gallard's driving here. So Nate's waiting. Lands himself. And that's when he gets the chin strap lock. That's the point when he's grabbed the chin. Adjusts himself. Goes over the far side. And then look how tight this is. Like you can see his arm there. Palm to palm. Switch to the other angle. There we go. So there we go again. There's his arm. And then he's holding there. And he's got that leg control over the backside as well. So he's holding his opponent down. And he's twisting at the same time as torquing his upper body. So he's driving their head down underneath towards their hips. Squeezing on their neck. In a very, very powerful position. Okay, now this is the one that stands out as different, and only because Marcus Davis is just too tough to level change on Nate because he knows how good Nate is on the ground. I mean, that was really it, because if you look at Marcus Davis's face, it is a swollen mess, and Nate was just doing a number on him. I mean, he was just slapping him and playing with him, like clipping him with stuff, little jab, little slap, little uppercut. Look at the mess on Davis's face. I mean, you know, at most fighters at this point against Nate would have level changed. This is what, 2 minutes left in the third round? There's that little parry again. So good at getting his head off the center line. Throwing the lead hand over his shoulder. Pulls him into a clinch, builds a frame. Lands a couple of knees. I mean, Davis is just battered and beaten up. He's even a body kick from Nate, which we don't see very often. That's how confident and how comfortable he was in this fight. Whacks Davis in the body. Pokes him. And then level changes. We did see Nate wrestle a bit more as a welterweight. You know, he was wrestling with Don Young Kim more. He was wrestling against Roy McDonald as well. He's got it in his arsenal. We just don't see it very often. He prefers to slap people into doing the wrestling for him. But he can see, look, he's taking Davis down. And then as Davis is scrambling to turn, you can see the same control. Look where you can see where his right arm is. Same position it always is, into the armpit. But look where his left arm is. He's on that chin strap again. He's got Davis under the chin here. He's also in a position where, if you look where his legs are, he's in a strong position. He's in a mobile position. So when his opponent starts to twist and move, he's able to adjust and create enough space for himself to keep working on this choke. Look how strong he's driving him over. Wrapped on the chin of Davis. Davis knows how much danger he's in. This is why now he's starting to try and bail out to the side. And Nate's got that wrap over the top here, as well as the chin strap. Now, what's going to happen here is Nate's going to bring this leg and he's going to try and control Davis, which it works for a moment, but Davis does the right thing, like scooting his hips back to get away from it. But unfortunately for him, because the fence is here, like he can't go very far anyway. Nate goes to reach over, And that's where he goes to adjust the grip because he feels like he's got a good bite. You can see him removing his right arm to go to the left hand. But Davis was able to move himself back and away. See how he's now up against the fence. And Nate now doesn't need to control him with his legs because he can drive his hips into him without Davis being able to move any further away anyway. The fence is effectively acting as the barrier that Nate's top leg would, if that makes sense. And what you'll see, you can see how the arm is across Davis's neck there, and then Nate's driving into that to squeeze that as much as he possibly can to pinch the neck. Imagine, what he's trying to do here is he's trying to do what you would do with a hose pipe when you fold it in two to stop the flow. Like, he's trying to do the same thing with his neck and all the important stuff that goes on in his neck. This is why Davis is out unconscious. And the other thing that you'll notice as well with Nate, so there's Nate's elbow, forearm, and then this is his hand here. So you're looking, that's not a very good drawing, 1 second. So this is his hand, this is where his thumb is. And what you'll notice is he's pushing on the bottom of his hand. So this isn't a pulling motion with this. He's not pulling with this top hand. He's pushing that top hand in this direction to accentuate that squeeze and that pinching motion. And again, because Davis has got nowhere to go because of the fences up against his back, Nate doesn't have to keep scooting in and throw his leg over to control. This is the only guillotine which is really at all different in his career. We're going to go on to Jim Miller next, which up until last night was his last guillotine. Where are we? Here we go. Okay, this starts with a wicked elbow as well. And Jim Miller is the stat leader for submissions. I think Nate is fourth for sub attempts. Jim's number one and number two. Like, he is not an easy person to catch in a submission. It just shows you how flustered people can become. And this was second round as well. You know, Jim Miller's had more fights than anybody else in the UFC. 35, I think it is. But even so, under the pressure that he faced against Nate, he'd had enough. He just wanted to level change and get out of it. So what you're going to see here, you're going to see Nate cracking with this elbow. Whack. Couple of hooks. That's where Jim level changes look. Backed up against the fence, under pressure. Same place that most people do. And then this is where Nate starts to jog himself back. Immediately he starts in a sprawl, but he's not sprawling too much because he doesn't want to be too far away from him. He wants to be just far enough so they can't finish this takedown. Because you can actually see from that position, there's Jim Miller's fingers, right? There's Jim Miller's hand. He's already got some control over him. He's already driving in. So Nate's now, he's got this hook and this chin strap, but he's also jogging himself back at the same time to create space. And you'll see it here because they go from off the fence where Jim is. Jog away, jog away, jog away, jog away. See that wrap that he's got? You see Jim reach with his other leg. And then Nate sprawls out and sits to the side. Then he goes to throw his leg over. And this is what McGregor did, if you remember. As Nate goes to throw his leg over, McGregor bailed out and Nate followed him to top position. Look how deep that hand is. You can see it. He's got long arms, but the pinch that must have on Jim Miller's neck, it must be really quite uncomfortable. And then Jim's going to scramble. And again, look, chin strap. Right arm over into the shoulder, into the armpit. Jim sits up and Nate's going to jump up. Pinch and roll. And finish in top position. So he's effectively doing the same thing as he would be doing from bottom position. But now, of course, he's in top position. You can see the hook around the leg there. That's in place of the hook, the leg that would be hooked over the hip. And again, you know, driving his hips in, pulling up under the neck of Jim Miller, who unfortunately for Jim has got his tongue caught in this guillotine. And then, of course, the most recent guillotine. And same thing happened. Look, Tony backed up against the fence, under pressure, jab to the body, cross to the body, backed up, little slap cuff at the back of the head, under pressure, slap, being chased, being overwhelmed, level change, there's your wrap, over into the armpit, under the chin. And he'll do the same thing. He'll sit down, now he's got the control. And what he does with his legs is really nice in this one as well. There you can see the other hand. So what you'll notice, look how tight he's staying on the upper body. He's really not that bothered about his lower body. He does have a butterfly hook with this leg. That's one thing that I did notice, but he's not able to really do too much with it. I just think it's like a get out clause. It's there just in case. If Tony pops his head up, then he can potentially start to think about sweeping him over this way towards the camera with his overhook. Anyway, that's something else. So what you'll see is how he pulls Tony and sits towards. So instead of sitting back directly, he's not sitting back in that direction. He's going over towards where that cameraman is. And then he throws his leg over. So he's pulling Tony's head towards the floor. And then he does this very interesting thing with his butterfly hook on the far side. So he hooks it and drives it in. So he's got some torque, some control. This leg's gone over the top. So he's biting down on the body of Tony. Got a bit of control over him. Still got that hook over there as well, controlling the upper body and the chin strap, which has now gone deeper into a guillotine. The next thing that's going to happen is this butterfly hook here is going to move. He's going to pull it through and it's going to go posted on the hip. When he does that, you know that he's got a good bite on the guillotine, because now what he's actually doing is he's pushing his opponent away from him. And unless he knows he's got a good bite on that neck, he wouldn't be trying to stretch him out like that. He'd want to be trying to keep him as close as possible, which is what this top leg's about. Now, the top leg goes to purely be in control. He's going to circle that foot out. You see he's already let go of the right arm. See the little UFC glove there? That's the arm. He's going to pull that out and go to the choking hand. There it is. Right hand to left hand. Then he's going to remove this hook. Hook removes, goes onto the hip. And now look, same thing again. He's not pulling up with his guillotine. He's pushing into it. He's driving this direction. It's like a cup and saucer. Imagine my hand is the cup. My palm is the saucer. That's the position that he's in. So Tony's neck is in here. And then look what he's doing with his lower body as well. You can see Tony's kind of being twisted to one side because he's being pushed away by this foot and controlled by this leg. There's really nowhere he can go. It's beautiful. Really, really nice. And that's that. Five Nate Diaz guillotines. Everyone very, very similar to the last. Similar circumstance, pressure, high volume strikes, day level change, and he is ready to receive. He's ready to chin strap, wrap over the top, and then everything else falls into place. And as we know from his other fights, from his fight against Pellegrino, if that doesn't work, then he goes straight into his triangles, which maybe I'll do a video on at some other point. All right. Oh, here we go. Of course, we got another replay. I forgot about that. Nearly. There we go. Look at Tony under pressure. You mean you can feel the pressure that he's under here? Pressure, pressure, pressure. Wrap. And Tony did a really good job of attacking the legs of Nate, but Nate also did a very good job of checking that kick, which did all that damage to Tony's shin. Here he is wrapped, pulling him in tight. Then he sits. This is where you can see, instead of falling back in this direction, he's going to go this way. He's going to pull Tony into the guillotine, throw his leg over, and then look. Leg over the top to control, that's pinning down. Then we've got this one, which at this point is pushing out. When you feel that's obviously keeping Tony. If you imagine Tony's like this as on a plane, this leg lifting him up will be tilting him towards the guillotine. That's the point in doing that. It will just slow him down from escaping. And when what you'll see next is he's going to remove that leg. There we go. Hand to palm. Hook removes. Goes to hip. And then it's a case of just driving and squeezing. Love it. But you can see his elbow point there. Look how deep that is. Poor old Tony's neck is in there. Foot on the hip, pushing in that direction. Leg over the back, controlling him in this direction. Gotta love it. All right. This was the Dark Room. I hope some of it made sense. I'll see you next time.